Amen. 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 Would you turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians 5. And we're going to read verse 17 together, because that's the jumping point, the launching point he gave me for until he tells me to stop. And I'm in the New King James Version. Reads, therefore, if read it with me, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have to understand that whatever happened before Christ is old and dead and buried, doesn't exist anymore, and God is never going to bring it up. Someone said to me, it's a yeah, he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. I said, no, he didn't say that. He said, I will remember your sins no more. He said, well, why is that important? Well, when you say you throw things in the sea of forgetfulness, you can go out there and dig them back up. But when you say, I will remember no more, God is saying, I am making a conscious choice that I love you so much, I'm not going to think about what you did in the past. It's a choice that we make. Say, it's a choice. There's something going on that I refer to as a plague. And it's spreading at an alarming rate among the church. Believers are making some horrible choices, and we believe it's because it's the devil. we flip Wilson it. You know, the devil made me do it. Well, folks, that's impossible. Say, it's impossible. And let me tell you why. In 1 John 3, verse 8, in the Passion Translation, it reads, but the one who indulges in a sinful life is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. So how can we be affected by something that's undone and destroyed? Luke 10, you all know how I feel about this passage. It's probably one of my favorites, because it's clearly telling us that the devil has no power or authority over us, but we have all power and authority over him. Jesus said, behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and, that means in addition to the power and authority, I've given you physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you. So right now, you have physical and mental strength and ability over anything the devil's got. How can he influence you? That's what the word says. But what's more important than what the word says, what do you think about it? Because if your thoughts are not in line with what the word said, you won't experience physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. And everything will harm you. Not because God's not able, because you don't believe it. And then we have James 4, verse 7, Passion Translation. It says, so then surrender to God. And in this passage, I like the word surrender over submit. Because when you surrender, you're saying, there are no terms. I give up. Lord, I've been in opposition to you, and now I lay all of my weapons down. Everything that's kept me from doing things your way, I lay it all down, And I'm here. I'm waving the white flag. It says, surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. So instead of, I read something on Friday in one of Mark Hankins' books, and he was talking about how he went coyote hunting. And I was trying to figure out why you go coyote hunting. I don't know if anyone's eaten coyotes. But to go coyote hunting, you know, you get dressed up in all the camouflage. He said even his rifle was camouflaged. Okay. And they're under a tree, and his buddy, you know, I guess who's the coyote hunting expert, has a whistle, and he's blowing the whistle, and it's making the sound that's not like a coyote or coyote mating call or anything. It's the sound of a wounded rabbit. Because they say when the coyote hears that sound, it's thinking lunch. Okay. So it comes with the plate and the knife and the fork and the napkin tied around. They use proper place setting. And they come because they know that they have a meal waiting for them. And he said he began to feel silly because they were out there all day and no coyotes came. But he said it caused him to think about something, and I was thinking about it as I was reading it. How many times do we make sounds like wounded rabbits? We don't call it that. God doesn't call it that. He calls it murmuring and complaining. Where rather than stand on what we know he said and speak the words that he's given us to say and think the thoughts about the words that he's given us to say that'll bring forth victory, we start whining like wounded rabbits and invite the enemy to come in for a meal. Tell your neighbor, I'm not complaining anymore. Because as Mia shared, God is still great, even if you're complaining. He's not going to say, well, they're complaining about me, so I'm not going to be great anymore. No, he's still going to be God, regardless of what you say about him. He is still going to be God. You're better off saying what he says and having what he says you should have. And that's where our thoughts come in, because it's our thoughts that cause us to make these silly mistakes. It's because of what we're thinking about is what causes some of the nonsense to come out of our mouths. It's our thoughts, not the devil. It's our thoughts. That's why God didn't say, capture the devil. He said, capture every thought. And we found out, according to the Department of Neuroimaging at the University of Southern California, they said the average brain has 70,000 thoughts a day. And Psychology Today did a study, and they estimate that 70% of your thoughts are negative. So every day you're bombarded with 49,000 negative thoughts. And you process them before the blink of an eye. You process them. And you have to know which one, and your mind can't figure all of that out. So God said, this is easy. Take all of them and put them in the vault. And only let the ones out that obey Christ. So when you examine that thought, and if it's in line with Christ, you let it come out. If it's not, you keep it locked up. No matter how powerful thoughts are, they are not more powerful than you. And again, I can prove it by the word. Romans 12:2 tells us to change the way we think. If thoughts were so powerful, how could you change them? God said, capture them. If they're powerful, how are you going to capture them? They're not powerful. But you can empower them. How? By thinking about them. By believing they're true. I've shared this with you. The difference between a good day and a bad day is how you think about it. Mia had a choice. They could have had a bad half a week, not just a bad day, and could have if they wanted to. They could have chosen woe is me and all this other stuff, and God, I'm supposed to be your child, and all these other things that we whine and murmur and stuff about, putting out the sound of a wounded rabbit and trying to justify it with the scriptures. Well, you know, God said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I wish it hadn't have been my car, but I guess that's what the Bible says. Yeah, that's what the scripture says, but that's not what the scripture means. Yes, the enemy's intent is to steal, kill, and destroy. We forget that Jesus said, but I have come. Yeah, the enemy's coming, but I have come so that you'll have life and have it more abundantly. See, you folks know I like watching programs about predators, animals, and all that stuff. And I like the principles. And there's a very, very fundamental principle among predators. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Look at Luke 22. God said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Luke 22, I'm going to read verse 31 in a couple of translations. First one is the King James. Then we're going to do God's Word in the New Life Version. The Lord said, Lord being Jesus, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. God's Word translation said, then the Lord said, Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to have you apostles for himself. He wants to separate you from me as a farmer separates wheat from husks. You need to understand something. You could have a herd of, I think it's Deacon Tony's favorite animal, the water buffalo. Water buffaloes are animals to be reckoned with, even independently, because they're just so huge, and they don't have the greatest personality. Okay, but they travel in herds, and the herd, they have a leader who's leading the herd to a place of rest and provisions. That's their goal. They go finding rest and provisions. And as long as they stay together, they're fine. But lions like to eat buffalo because they're so big. I told one group, I said, everybody loves a good steak. You know, because these buffalo, they're so big, they'll feed a pride of a lion for about 3-4 days. But there's one thing I learned about, one of the things I learned about lions is even though they're supposed to be apex predators, they're only successful 30% of the time. So that means they have a 70% failure rate. When they hunt, 7 out of 10 times, they don't make a kill. The animals don't think I have a 70% chance of surviving this. So when this herd, it's moving in its direction, moving to its place of peace and provision, one or two of the lions will just pop their heads up and just let them be seen. They don't attack. They just come so you can see them. And some members of the herd freak out. Like lions are coming. And then there's a stampede. And once the stampede starts, one or two more may just show themselves and not run at them, but run along with them. So why? Because it seems like you can't shake them, like you can't get away. And invariably, at least one is going to go a different direction. Because its thoughts are on what these lions will do to me when they catch me. So I'm going to run, let them go this, I'm going this way. And once they go off by themselves, then they get surrounded and then they get devoured. Because of their thoughts, because of what they thought about it. Well, we do the same thing in principle. We don't have a problem if the doctor says you have a cold. Nobody has ever called me and asked me to give a report, give the prayer team their name because they have a cold or an allergy. But if the doctor says, I see a mass, we freak out. And we forget the same God that delivered you from the lion and the bear, the cold and the allergy, will deliver you from Goliath. Same God. Doing it the same way with his word. So the enemy comes because he wants to separate us. One translation says separate us out of the care and keeping of God. And he does it through our thoughts. That's how he does it. The New Life Version said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, listen, Satan has wanted to have you. He will divide you as wheat is divided from that which is good. That means he wants to take you away into something that is not good. It's good to stay the course that God has laid out for you. It's not good for you when you go off course. So we have to get our thoughts in line so that we stay on course. Do you understand? Every time I think about thoughts, I think about a song I used to like when I was 10, sung by Nat King Cole, The Very Thought of You. And I forget to do the little ordinary things that I ought to do. My thoughts cause me to not do the things that I know I should do. Those lyrics say, I see your face in every flower, your eyes and stars above. So that means my thoughts, instead of being on what God says and what God wants me to do, I'm thinking everything else. I'm seeing calamity in everything else. I'm not seeing God because my thoughts are not on what God said. My thoughts are what I'm going on, what I'm going through. And folks, what you're going through, your thoughts are never dependent on what you're going through. Never dependent. Could care less. You can think the way God wants you to think regardless of what you're going through. And there's a scripture. Okay, Lord, I'm moving as fast as I can. There's a scripture in Isaiah that we kind of misunderstand. Turn to Isaiah 55. Because this is where we run into the wall. Because I'm going to tell you, you have to think the way God thinks. But I can't think like God. Yes, you can. No, but the scripture says I can't. No, you're misreading it. Isaiah 55. Right now I'm going to start at verse 8. I'm in the New International. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And we say, see? There it is in black and white. I can't think like God. And look, verse 9 gives even more proof. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So if you read that and you don't have the understanding, you're going to think that trying to think like God is hopeless. Because you can't do it. God said, I can't do it. One of the things I learned from Pastor Clinton was you can't just read a passage of Scripture. You have to read what was going on, who was he talking to, what were the circumstances. So with that in mind, let's go back up to verse 7. It said, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. How many of you are wicked and unrighteous? So he wasn't referring to you. He said, let them turn to the, listen to this, let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've read this scripture a number of times. This is the first time I saw a reference to Christ. Let them turn to the Lord for mercy and to God who will fully pardon. You got to go to the Lord first so you can get to God. He's not talking about believers. He's talking about getting an unrighteous people right again. And then he tells them why he said, let the wicked forsake their ways and their unrighteous thoughts. He said, because my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Not that they can never be, but at this moment, they are not. They're as far as the, as high as the heavens are from the earth. That's how far the way you're thinking is away from where I'm thinking. But he didn't say we had to stay that way. Then he said, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. So it is what I just said to you. My words will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What was his desire? He didn't want their thoughts to be so far from his thoughts. He wanted us to think the same thing. He wanted his thoughts to be our thoughts. And to do that, he had to declare it. And he wanted the people to know, once I declare it, once I say it, it's done. It will not come back until it's accomplished. That was his desire. That was his plan. Then he told us what the results of this would be. Verse 12, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bushes, will grow the juniper. Instead of bad stuff, you'll see it as good. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow, for it will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. God said, as the snow and rain come and don't return until they accomplish their purpose, so is the word that comes forth from my mouth. So is the command that I just made. It is so, and it will come to pass. In John 1, we know who the Word is. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That means the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't do a thing to stop it. And then it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word that was sent by God's command. Because it was the Word, it's the Word that was going to cause us to think and act like God. Jesus is the bridge for the as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my thoughts and ways above yours. Jesus bridges that gap. When we're in Christ, we can now think, have the same thoughts, as God. Look at Ephesians 2. God like Jesus is high and lifted up. Verse 5, King James Version. Even when we were dead in sin, in sins, plural, God quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And listen to this. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God said, as high as the heavens are from the earth, now we're moved up to where the heavens are. In Christ, we're moved up. Right where God's thoughts are. Okay, there's no longer that rift in Christ. Because we're in Christ, he's seated with God in heavenly places, and we're seated with him, so we're right there. We're the thoughts and we're thoughts and his ways. Ephesians 5, Passion Translation, verse 1 and 2 says, be imitators of God in everything you do. It didn't say be imitators of God except that you can't think like him. It says be imitators of God, folks, in everything you do. For then you will represent your father as his beloved sons and daughters and continue to walk, surrender, there's that word again, to the extravagant love of Christ. For he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. And that word imitator in the Greek is used to describe someone that usually plays a role or like an actor playing a role or playing a part. God wants us to mimic him. So if he wants us to mimic him, he wants us to mimic everything about him. So we have to mimic his thoughts. We have to mimic his ways. Because his thoughts and ways, it's God. It's what he does. It's how he thinks. We're supposed to act like that. How can we act like that if he said, oh, you'll never do that because my thoughts are so high, you can never make it. No, on your own you can't, but in Christ we're there. In Christ we are right there. In 1 Peter 2, just to let us know that the word sent is our example. Verse 21 of 1 Peter 2, again, King James Version. It says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should do what? Follow his steps. See, that doesn't just mean what he did. It also means how he thought. Because when you're thinking like Christ, you're thinking like God. Because he's thinking like Christ. He's thinking like God. 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to show you that in the Word. Because I want you to think any of this is my opinion, because it's not. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15 and 16, out of the Living Bible, says, but the spiritual man has insight into everything, and that bothers and baffles the man of the world, who can't understand him at all. So don't expect non-believers to understand what you're doing. How could he? For certainly he has never been one to know the Lord's thoughts. Who's never been one to know the Lord's thoughts? The worldly man. Or to discuss them with him. Or to move the hands of God by prayer. But strange as it seems, we Christians actually do have within us a portion of the very thoughts and mind of Christ. Strange as it seems, we have the mind of Christ. The Passion Translation says those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. Stop thinking about how the world says you should act. You're not under their scrutiny. You're under the scrutiny of no one but God. For who has ever, listen to this part, who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? And that word counselor doesn't mean his advisor, but his buddy, someone he can talk with, talk things over with. It says, Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions. Christ has, we possess Christ's thoughts. So we can act, well, didn't God said, come, let us reason together? Christ intimately knows God's thoughts, and we have Christ's thoughts, so guess what? We intimately know God's thoughts. We are, our thoughts are not as high as the heavens is from the earth, separated from his thoughts. They're the same. I should say they can be the same. God's already decided he wants his thoughts to be our thoughts. We have to get in line with that because he's not going to dump his thoughts on us. We have to make a choice to rise up to where God is so that we can have his thoughts and we can do his ways. We have to capture every one of those 70,000 thoughts. Every one of them, and make them obey Christ. Now think about this, because we're saying, you know, we have the mind of Christ. Well, what are some of the things Christ thought about? Well, in Luke 2, and for time purposes, I'm not going to read the whole passage, because I was going to read about 8 verses, but I'm not. But this is when Jesus, every year they went to Jerusalem, he went with his parents to the feast of Passover, and now he's 12. How old? 12. He's 12 years of age. And when it's time to go back, he kind of lingered behind, and that was okay then because everybody's family, so they didn't. But after 3 days, they're wondering, where's our son? And so they go back to Jerusalem. And in verse 46, it says, so now it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers at 12. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? They're thinking about going back home. He's thinking about his father's business. What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about getting home, getting some rest, watching the game? You know, yeah, getting some food. Or for me, getting some sleep. Or are we thinking about doing the Father's will? Because when the disciples saw Jesus, he'd been so busy, and they like any good stewards, they wanted to take care of him. And so they were nice, they wanted to bring him food. And he's like, no, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus saying, no, my thoughts are on what my Father wants done and to finish. That's what I'm thinking about, and that's what keeps me going, doing the will of the Father. Philippians tells us in the Message Bible, Philippians 2, tells us to think of ourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. Listen, he had equal status with God. He had what kind of status? So he had the same. How can you be equal and not have the same thoughts and not the same ways? He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself. See, he didn't get so full of himself that he thought he could do whatever he wanted. If you have equal status with God, then you already know that he has a specific purpose for you. based on his thoughts and based on his purposes, based on his plans. And we have to get in step with that. Did you ever find out that when you let your thoughts line up with God's thoughts, great things happen? Say amen if great things ever happen to you by lining up with God's thoughts. Amen. Amen. So why don't we do that all the time? And I'm talking to myself also, because there's some things I know I should be doing. And I've made up my mind that I'm going to stop talking about it and start doing it. But Jesus didn't use his equality with God as a reason or a license to do his own thing. Contrary to the music, it's not your own thing, and you can't do what you want to do. And in spite of all of that that God has given us, he still sends to Calvary. John 16. Because he gives us all the help that we need. I'm going to give you two more instances and then I'm going to unhook. John 16, verse 13 to 15, Passion Translation. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. That's a nice way of saying he's going to tell you about the thoughts that you have. The Holy Spirit's going to say, Deacon Kevin, that's not a thought you need to be thinking. Pastor Greg, don't think that thought about that person. I don't care what they say or what you heard. That's not my thought. And you know what I say? That's not my thought. Father, that's not, and I start blessing the person and speaking blessings over them and thanking God for them. Because no matter what I do wrong, my Father never murmurs about me. My Father doesn't go on the internet and slander my name. And if my thoughts and ways are going to be like him, like his, then I'm not going to do that either. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will reveal the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak his own message. Just like I can't speak my own message, but only what he hears from the Father, and he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. He will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. How did we allow that law reinstituting the Johnson Act in this state? Because our thoughts weren't God's thoughts and our ways weren't God's ways. We were too busy getting ourselves wrapped up into social issues. Even though the scripture says no soldier, no good soldier, gets entangled with civilian affairs, but he wants to please his father. We're so busy getting entangled in stuff, they did an end around. And next thing we know, this law is in place. Next thing we know, I didn't get a prompting, pray for Chick-fil-A, they're under attack, and they're about to make a different choice. Because we get so involved in other things, we're not hearing and we can't speak on things that God wants us to speak on. I'm not talking about public protests. I'm talking in your prayer time. Father, Satan is desired to have them to sift them as wheat. But we're praying that their faith fail not. Their faith will not fail. They won't give in to this kind of pressure. Because we're all going to face that kind of pressure. Pastor Clinton told us 30 some odd years ago, the time's coming and you're going to have to make a choice to stand up for Christ or suffer some dire consequences. 30 years ago, we knew this day was coming. He will glorify me on the earth, for he will receive from me what is mine and reveal it to you. everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me. That's what Jesus said. And we're in Christ, so everything that belongs to the Father belongs to us. And if we should by chance not remember that Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to share all those things with us, we still have the written word of God. And according to the word in 2 Timothy 3, Amplified Bible, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, because God, he has to take care of that wicked and unrighteous, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. The word, the written word of God, will help us get our thoughts in line if we read it, understand it, and do what it says. Put it into action. And folks, please understand this. God is never going to lower his standards. Amen. He's not going to look at us and say, they'll never reach that. So instead of wanting them up here, I'll settle if they're down here. No, he's not going to do that. We're going to have to move up higher. We're going to. And if he put that in place, then that has to mean that we can, because he's not going to give us a task that we can't accomplish. Yes, it's going to take some work. Yes, it's going to take some effort. Yes, there may be blood, sweat, and tears. But the bottom line is, if you keep thinking, if your thoughts remain, I'm going to rise up to where God is. I'm going to grab hold of this thing. I'm going to do this thing the way God says. You'll do it no matter what you have to go through. I remember the movie where the guy wanted to, the Shawshank Redemption. He wanted to get out. He broke out and wound up in the sewer pipe. He had a choice to make. Either go back up or crawl through about a half a mile or so of raw sewage. And it said he drug himself through the sewage and came out clean. Because when he came out, what was it doing?
Raining.
See, it was raining, R-A-I-N. When we crawl through, we come through raining.
R-E-I-N.
How many of you would want to rain? There's some stuff you're going to have to crawl through. But his thoughts crawling through is not, I can't believe I'm in this mess. It's like, I'm getting to the other side. I'm going to be clean. I'm going to have the life I'm supposed to have. And next thing you know, you're out and you're raining. You're out and you're raining. Tell your neighbor, I want that kind of rain. But see, and we can have it, but we're going to have to start capturing our thoughts. And as Mia shared, making a conscious choice, I'm going to think what God thinks. I know what the circumstance says. Hey, I'm right in the midst of it. But this circumstance does not define who I am. And this circumstance is not going to dictate what I'm going to think about what my Father said. I'm going to think about what my Father said, period. He said he will provide for my every need. He said, don't give no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. What you learn today may get you through to may very well be what you need to get through tomorrow. He said, take no thought for that. Just seek first his kingdom. Let your thoughts and ways be kingdom-based. And he'll add all these things. What things? Whatever it is that you need. He'll add it. But like I said, to do that, we're going to have to move up to where God is. We're going to have to move up higher. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and then we're going to do everything we're supposed to do, but we're going to take care of God's business first. Because everybody's thoughts are not where they should be. And so we're going to play a song, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing that you did earlier. You know what you've been thinking. I don't need to know. I know what I've been thinking. And while the song is playing, you need to come up. You need to repent. You need to get it right with God. Whatever you need to do, do it. Because God has a purpose and a plan for this ministry. And we all need to be in one accord. We talk about we need unity, we need unity, we need unity. No, I need to be in unity with God. Because when I'm in unity with God, I'll be in unity with you. Because that's what God requests. See, we make the mistake. I remember Pastor Sarah, we had a conversation about this years ago, when the school started. People make the mistake of training their children to be obedient to them. You want to train your children to be obedient to God, and because they're obedient to God, guess what? They'll be obedient to you. But we need to let them know that it's God's standards that we're living. So if you really want your thoughts to be where God, the same as God thought, and your ways to be the same as God's ways, then it's time to publicly proclaim that. That's what we're going to do. So Dan's going to play the song. I will move up higher. He's going to play the song, and you do what the Holy Ghost prompts you to do, because we're going to be at the place where God's thoughts dwell. That's the place I want to be. How about you? See, no more, what's that term they used to use? No more stinking thinking. But we can make a choice. Some of us are going to have to let go of some things that have been going on or that you've allowed to bug you for years. It's been holding you back. You need to let it go. You just let it go. Stop talking about it. Stop thinking about it. It's been dominating some of your conversations. You come together and somewhere along the line, that thought comes up and you waste good time, good fellowship, murmuring and complaining about stuff and wondering why it's not changing. Because we keep talking about it. We keep speaking it into reinforcement instead of allowing the revelation of Jesus Christ to undo and destroy.